Welcome to the Lead and Follow podcast. I'm your host, Sharna Fabiano, author of the book, Lead and Follow. And I'm pleased to bring you the latest research, insights, and educational techniques in the emerging field of followership to help you connect and collaborate better with the people around you, whether you're leading or following. Please do leave us a review in your favorite podcast app, and thanks so much for listening. Today, I'm speaking with Chad Bennett. Chad is the Director of Technology for Sturgis Public Schools in Michigan and moonlights as Tech Production Director for Radiant Life Church. He will complete his Bachelor of Science degree in Organizational Leadership from Indiana Wesleyan University in April 2023. And in his free time, he loves to drink good coffee, play golf, and talk about Michigan football. I'll also note for listeners that this episode is part two of the Indiana Wesleyan series, where there now exists a division of leadership and followership studies. So be sure to go back and listen to part one of the series. Chad has graciously agreed today to share his experience in that program and how the leadership followership lens is guiding his current work. Chad, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Sharna. I'm super excited to be here. I've been looking forward to it all week.
Great. Me too. I'd like to start by just grounding your experience and asking you to share a little about what inspired your decision to enroll in this particular degree at this phase of life and career.
Sure. So I'm a non-traditional college student. Went to college right out of high school, went for journalism, actually. So, you know, didn't fit very well, went to a public university, struggled with that. It was first time away from home, you know, the story of most college kids. I came home, went to work, and found that I'm really good with technology and really good with people. Mm-hmm. So being able to kind of mold those two things together gave me the ability to work in technology. So working in technology in a community college was really tough to find. Did the best I could with the hands-on degree that I got from my community college. Education was great. Professors were great. As I moved up in my leadership journey, I decided that, hey, I can't do this without a bachelor's degree and without some better training, especially as I've moved into education, where everyone around me has got master's degrees, doctorate degrees. I was feeling kind of left out. And as a staff member at a Wesleyan church, Indiana Wesleyan was the number one choice for me to look at. And hearing that this was the first full program of Bachelor of Science in Organizational Leadership, it just felt right.
Fantastic. Sounds like it was just like the perfect fit in so many ways.
It was.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, you mentioned you'd had some leadership experience, right? And you're coming into this with some work experience. And as we know, that term followership can be a little unfamiliar or even a little bit cringeworthy, especially if you're used to another paradigm or conventional industry wisdom around leadership. So I'm curious what you remember about your first encounter with that term followership in this program.
Well, that's a really funny story. So seeing my class schedule and this whole class around the idea of followership, in my head, I'm thinking, what the heck could we learn in this class that is going to work for leadership? I was kind of dreading the class, thinking, oh man, it's going to be sing kumbaya, hold hands and do weird things. First day in the class, Dr. Linville does an introduction video, and we've already had him at this point for a couple of other courses. So we had gotten to know him really well. Mm-hmm. And he kind of made a joke of that this is going to kind of blow the doors off this whole idea of followership. And one of the first exercises was just, what's your thoughts on this? And how does this play into your thought process? You know, and he kind of referenced it in the first episode. Mm-hmm. And the idea of, man, we're taught to be leaders, not followers. If you're following, you're being left behind.
Right.
And this course kind of just made that look silly.
Well, what changed for you? You know, what did you have that moment of like, this will blow your mind? Or did you have a personal epiphany in that first exercise, or maybe later? Like what made the difference for you?
Yeah. Throughout that whole course, there were a couple of big things that really stood out. And first was one of the assignments each week of the course was how to tie it into scripture. Mm-hmm. So one of the big ones that kind of led me down a rabbit trail is how much of a servant leader and follower that Jesus actually was with his disciples as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the big example that really stood out to me was John 13, mm-hmm. where Jesus kind of washes his disciples' feet and washes, you know, that's one of the most humbling things you can do. And in biblical times, a rabbi did not do that. Mm. You know, that was unheard of. Jaws would have been on the floor.
Yeah. Well, it's a major leader follower reversal, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, later on in that workshop and in that course, we did a courageous follower assessment. Mm. So Chalif did this and built this whole idea and test to kind of see how you laid out on this matrix. My result was actually as a partner, which mm-hmm. kind of fit in that servant leadership side of what I feel like my leadership strength is. Mm-hmm. So those two things were just like, whoa, this is a real thing. And this is not just some crazy off the wall idea.
Yeah, I love the combination of those two things, right? It's like the evocative story from the faith tradition. And then also you mentioned Chalif's tool, the matrix, and I would direct listeners to The Courageous Follower, where you can read about that. One thing that story of John 13 illustrates is that leaders also follow sometimes. And in fact, that a leader choosing to follow can be quite a powerful thing. I know you were also working while you were moving through this degree program. I wonder if there were any moments when you intentionally chose to follow, even though you're in a leadership position.
Yeah. So it kind of worked out at the time. The team that I was leading, I was at a private sector company. I hadn't quite come to education yet. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, I set the team up. I hired the team. It was a fantastic team. Mm-hmm. Shout out to them. They were incredible. As I moved into education, when I took over for the outgoing director, we didn't get a ton of time together. So the transition was really tough. And there were so many things that I had no idea what was going on. And I would just show up to meetings and get bombarded with questions. And I had to really rely on my coordinator, Adam, to help guide me. And really, I just kind of stepped back and said to him, kind of in our office in private one day, I was like, man, you are going to take the lead on a lot of this stuff until I can get up to speed, because I don't want to give wrong answers. And I don't want to lead the district in a direction that's 180 degrees opposite of what we are doing. And he kind of just looked like I'd threatened him or something crazy. he was like, yeah, I've never really had to lead very much. So are you sure about that? And I was like, you have my support 100%. Mm. I will stand beside you in anything that we do. And, you know, if something goes south, I'll take the fall for it because I can. Mm. But I have faith in you. You've proven in the, you know, the month or two that we had already worked together at that point, we can do this and we'll accomplish what we need to accomplish until I can get up to speed. He did fantastic. Mm. And that helped him grow, but it also helped me grow. And it helped me to see in a real life example how important followership can be.
Yeah, that's such a powerful example. And I want to just underline a couple of things that you're sharing there. One is that I think many people in leadership positions don't always realize that they need to make it explicit when they want to switch roles, right? So there's a lot of talk about empowering your teams and, you know, encouraging them to lead. But what you did was really direct. You said, hey, I want you to lead here and I will support you. So you're using the language of, you know, leadership and followership sort of as support to make it really explicit. And I think that's really key. Even you can see it in his reaction. You know, your colleague Adam said, oh, okay, that means I'm going to lead and you're going to be supporting me for this phase. And that's such a great takeaway.
Yeah, you know, and it's looking back, honestly, like I'm not a real big ego guy, but I'm also, I felt like I had to kind of come in and assert my, I don't even want to say dominance, but just assert my position. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a younger guy. Almost all of the building administrators and our district administration are all significantly older than me. Mm-hmm. So I always felt like coming in, they're not going to respect me. You know, some of these people I had as teachers in school. Mm-hmm. So they still see me as, oh, this is Chad, the student, or wow, Chad, the young guy. But being able to help Adam lead, but also further our department and our really our bond of our team, I think has outweighed any of those chances of, you know, me feeling bad about myself or kind of stepping away from the ego a little bit.
Mm. Yeah, really powerful. Sharing, right? Sharing power. I think there's a lot of hesitance around that because of that fear of not being seen as authoritative or legitimate. Right. And I understand that, I've had a lot of those fears myself, but what I've discovered, and maybe you agree with us based on your experience, is that when I do say, you know what, you need to lead here, or I'm not the best person for this. When I recognize, who needs to be an authority and that sort of sharing of leadership and followership, it just like everyone sort of gets lifted up by it. And the sort of concern about being respected sort of melts away.
Oh, absolutely. And I think too, I think it was Simon Sinek that maybe said it in a mm-hmm. TED talk or something, but you can't be the smartest person in the room as a leader. You've mm-hmm. got to hire people that are so much smarter than you. And that's how a team becomes successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful. So I want to kind of pick up on something else that you'd mentioned about servant leadership, right? That's a strong style that has been analyzed and written about a lot. And sure. I'm curious about how you see followership or your current understanding of followership kind of fitting into that as a partner.
Sure. I really think that if you look at the scriptural side of servant leadership tied in with followership, they can't stand on their own. They're both, mm-hmm. they're one in the same. You'll be weak if you don't have both of them combined. But if you look at it in terms of leadership in today's sense, we'll say, mm-hmm. the teams that are the strongest and the people that are the strongest, they have those two things. For me, I think that my ministry leadership is where my day job, quote unquote, mm-hmm. really started to grow. As leading a volunteer ministry, you've got to make people feel comfortable. You've got to make them feel empowered, or you're going to lose volunteers. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the same mindset in the day job side of things as well, where, not so much that you're going to lose people, but if you don't give people the chance to excel and grow their competence and grow their skill set, you're just going to have a team full of people that only can do a handful of things mm-hmm. instead of a really strong team that then the leader, manager, director, whoever has to pick up the pieces and do everything. I've got it to a point with my team now, both at the church and here at the school, where I can go on vacation and not worry about it.
Amazing.
I can step away for a break. I can have things going on that I don't have to be on my phone, in my email, thinking, oh man, what's going to happen if I go away? I have to work 100 hours a week. Mm. I've surrounded myself with just such great people in all senses of the word that it's truly a blessing to lead both of these teams.
I'm curious how you might describe, and I know this is kind of getting picky, but I think this is part of what, our job is to articulate, right? As kind of pioneers of followership, is what sort of qualities in followership particularly match well with servant leadership?
Yeah. I think that having a humble spirit is the primary one, because it takes a lot of fortitude to say, I'm going to step back and let someone else lead this when you are the designated leader of something mm-hmm. and say, I'm not the strongest at that, but Johnny over here is an expert in that field and he's never got the chance to do it. So let's do it. Mm-hmm. But I think too, followership really forces you to analyze your teams. I look at the working genius test and how that tells about, wonder, invention, discernment, all of those things. When you align your team with what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are, it makes an unbreakable team. If you've got a team that's so focused in one area, but is super weak in another, it's eventually going to crumble around you. Mm. And so when you tie in followership to that servant leadership idea, again, it kind of builds that rock solid foundation.
So tell me if I get this right. So I'm say like a follower primarily, like on your team, then I would want to know my own strengths kind of first of all, right? What else would you ideally kind of want me to do, or how would you like me to occupy my role then on that team?
So, you know, you've always got those required tasks that you have to do, mm-hmm. no matter if you're the first entry-level person or you're the CEO.
Right.
But what I like to do is I like to look at the things that bring you joy, mm-hmm. make you happy and excited to come to work. You know, if that thing may be organizing cables into bins, mm-hmm. hey, that's something that I hate doing more than anything else on this planet. I will get you every piece of labeling equipment, bins, whatever you may need. And I will make sure that you have time to do that. And I'll take some of your other tasks that you maybe don't like to do. Mm-hmm. One thing that I brought with me when I came to the school is our office is an open space. There is no time that you say something that it will be held against you in the event that you harm a child or, you know, something like that. Okay, all bets are off. But if it's just us having a team meeting or a discussion about a project or a situation, you can speak freely. If you think I'm doing something crazy, tell me I'm crazy. Or if you think I did something really bad, like I didn't do it very well, tell me. Like, it's not going to hurt my feelings. That's how we grow. And they've become so open that they can come in and say, man, this policy is just not working, or this procedure, it just takes so much time. How can we redo it? On the whiteboard that's behind me at my desk here, we just drew out a refresh cycle for devices. District has never had one. We're now 6 years out, and we can know our replacement cycles to help narrow down our budget. Mm-hmm. Our whole team helped put that together. It wasn't just me standing there.
I love that. Again, I want to underline for listeners here a couple of things you're pointing out. So one is, you know, that making it okay to speak, right? And it's really important because you have this perspective of followership as a force, right? Then you're aware yeah. when you're leading,
right.
Oh, I really need to make that a priority, right? And so you make it explicit, and that goes such a long way. And then the other thing I think you're pointing out here with the example of, you know, listeners can't see the whiteboard behind you, but that collective design of timelines, right? In this example of the refresh cycle, it's like, okay, yeah, well, why wouldn't we do it together? That way we know all the variables that are going into it and everyone kind of owns it, so to speak, right? It's just it seems like intuitively to me a more sustainable way to construct timelines or work through time. So exactly. Those two are also really great takeaways.
It's one of those things for me where I've had some really incredible leaders, and I've also had some really horrible, horrible leaders. So I like to kind of live in that dream world sometimes of, well, I'll take the best things out of this job, this guy, this maybe ministry leader, and I won't, and I'll put a focus on not doing these particular things on this side that were not very good and that our teams were in shambles or whatever it may be. And I know that that's kind of cliche, but I found that it truly has changed the climate and the culture of the team that I'm leading currently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can totally see that. I wonder since you're kind of getting yourself immersed in this public school world right now, how do you see your leader follower perspective maybe guiding you going forward? Are there future projects where you see this is going to be key to your ability to work with people, or any other kind of dreams you might have?
Yeah. One of the big things that I actually just had a little bit of a discussion with this with our assistant superintendent. In the summertime, they typically have a leadership academy for district staff members that may want to jump into administration, leadership roles in certain programs, whatever that may be, about jumping in and potentially leading a training seminar on this idea of followership mm-hmm. and even servant leadership for our district kids and our other staff members. You know, it's a couple day long, 8 hours of training per day kind of thing. But me jumping in from the private sector, plus just spending 2 years in this idea, I think could really be beneficial to our admin and our staff, and potentially continue to push that idea of how important followership is.
What a fabulous idea. I love it. Leading and following for school staff. You know, it's a hugely underappreciated population, I imagine, a very stressed population, and probably a group of people who very much need to have both leading and following skills at their disposal all day long as they interact with one another, with administrators, potentially even with students. In fact, here's something I've noticed, and I wonder if you agree. I find that in groups, just having a common understanding of the leadership followership framework in which the roles are fluid, that they can switch based on context, it tends to create a kind of fabric of support within the group just by everyone having that understanding.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, the typical leadership, or I shouldn't even say typical, the old school leadership model really makes it so you're on an island, you're by yourself. You know, you may have a couple of leaders that are at your level that you can kind of confide in and work ideas off of. But when you start moving into followership, it takes that kind of pedestal away. And it gives you that ability to say, hey, here's what I'm thinking on this idea. What do you think? It takes the chance of failure away in all reality. You know, instead of pushing an idea that, well, this is what I said, so this is what we're going to do. It's, well, my whole team thought through this for a week, and this is what I think is going to benefit us the most. And like you kind of mentioned, you know, it brings buy-in. It helps in that team culture, and it just helps everyone feel like they're contributing, even though, you know, maybe their position doesn't always feel like they contribute to the bigger needs of the district or the organization.
Yeah, so well said. And I feel like that goes such a long way to creating meaning for people, you know, in what they do, you know, the sharing.
Because we've all worked those jobs and had those things where it's just you come to work every day and you're like, I'm here to collect a paycheck and that's about it. But if you have a job that you love, that old adage is so true. You know, if you love what you do, you won't work a day in your life.
Sometimes I talk about followership with folks and it feels like, oh, now there's another thing I need to learn, right? I already learned about leadership. Now I need to learn about followership. But it's actually the opposite. It's this sort of magical paradox, right? Where, yes, you include this, and now suddenly your work becomes distributed, right, in the group, and somehow it's easier, right? Not harder. At least that's my experience.
No, I think you're exactly right. You know, I also help on a coaching staff for our varsity football team. Mm-hmm. And being able to watch your players do things that they didn't think they could is almost more proud than me doing anything in my career or, you know, in school or whatever it may be. Being able to say, you know, oh, this kid beat his goal for tackles for the year, or, you know, we had a state record holder for rushing yards. It was really cool to be a part of. You know, I didn't do anything with it. I'm not a running back. I'm an offensive lineman, so I don't have any idea what's going on there. But, you know, and then if you transition that to like a team and like the work side of things, Adam had never led before in this kind of environment. He did fantastic. Now he's not afraid to speak up in meetings, and he's not afraid to be a little bit more assertive when he makes a decision that regards our district. It's almost like the Papa Bear moment where I'm really proud of that. You know, that's really cool that he got to do that and did well with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we all get to share in everyone else's wins.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Love it. I want to make sure we get to your moonlighting job. I think there might be some interesting insights there. The work you do is tech production director for Radiant Life Church. Where do you see leading and following kind of serving you there?
Oh, I could. I feel like we could probably have two episodes on just that by itself.
True.
So I came in the middle of the pandemic in 2020 as the tech director. We had never really done live stream before. Mm. Everything was just in the room. That's it.
Yep.
Building that system, building that team, going through the blood, sweat, and tears it took to get to the point we're at now, it changed the way that I look at how I interact with people in a like leadership way. Mm-hmm. Just because everybody's got stuff going on. Mm. In the middle of the pandemic, everybody was in chaos. There was no calm.
Yeah.
In a pre-2020, you know, in that stress, you may lash out at people. You may have, you know, worse things going on. But it really taught me to take a step back. What are they going through? Why did that particular thing happen? Not just, well, that person's lazy, or that didn't work out, or what's wrong with that person? Mm-hmm. You know, the world shut down for a year and a half, almost 2 years, you know, like that by itself, on top of the fear of being sick and, you know, potentially losing family members or relatives or whoever, it almost shocked my brain into that new mindset of, well, I need to look at things from their shoes first.
Mm-hmm. I think I had a similar experience, you know, I mean, not working in a tech director position, obviously, but just take that, taking a step back, you know, and you mentioned earlier being humble, you know, and I think so much like the simplest kind of essence of followership for me is sometimes just the listening and just, can I extend my awareness to the other person and receive what I'm seeing there, you know, rather than make an assumption or kind of jump to a conclusion. And that ability for the leader to follow right in those little moments, it was so crucial during a crisis like that. And I think it's always crucial, you know, it's always like a superpower to me.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I'm the type of person where I can sometimes have a big personality and a loud voice. So I sometimes dominate conversation or group meetings or whatever, just because my voice is loud and I'm a big personality. But COVID really showed me in that, you know, it's better to listen. Just let people talk. You'll have so much better conversation. You have so much better discussions over things. So like life groups are better, group meetings are better, you know, not trying to talk over each other on a Zoom meeting. You know, in person, you can tell by someone's body language when they're going to stop talking. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in a Zoom meeting, you can't tell that. And working from home for 2 full years, it really trained me to be super like focused on what people were saying instead of more focused on body language.
Yeah. I can imagine that helped you in a variety of ways. Can you think of any examples of how that approach, that sort of stepping back, listening more, helped you get your technical work done?
Yeah. You know, we like to joke that working in IT or in technology, we're basically customer service and that's it. The technical stuff comes all second, because when you get the ticket or a phone call that, hey, my computer stopped working and I have a deadline, you know, that's a bad day for that person. They're stressed. They're upset. You know, they may not necessarily be upset at us, but we usually get the brunt of it because we're the first person they talk to or see. And again, I sometimes will say, well, hold on. If you're going to treat me like that, I'm going to walk away and come back, you know, and make you sit in your moment of stress even more. Mm-hmm. Now it's okay. You know, hey, what's going on? Oh, your computer's not working. Well, tell me what happened. You know, give me any bit of detail you can. And then as I'm kind of diagnosing or working with my team to help diagnose it, I start asking how family is, or how, you know, with people that I know really well, we joke around, you know, give them a hard time, just kind of ease that tension. And it's almost like that bedside manner in the dumbest way possible. But, you know, it's gotten to the point, not so much here at the school, because I'm not so much in person anymore. I'm mostly, my team is out, but in my private sector job, I would walk up to someone's desk, sit down, joke around with them, and end up having a 20-minute conversation, and then go, oh yeah, hey, I got to fix your stuff. So it, you know, it really built relationship. So then the next time that stuff happened, I always almost felt like, you just broke that so you could have me come hang out with you for a little bit.
I would totally be the one being like, Chad, my computer doesn't work. I don't know. Don't look at the plug. Don't look at that plug down there.
Oh, did you just forget to power it on?
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay.
It's beautiful what you're saying, you know, and I think, you know, it brings, now I see how you use your strengths of people and technology together.
Yeah.
Right. Very clearly. And I love how you're saying that, you know, followership or leading and following. And really the conversation is such a great natural example of that, right? When we're having a conversation, we are leading and following, right? Naturally.
Yeah, exactly.
And so remembering that and bringing in those human skills to your work, whether it's technical or something else, it not only smooths the process of the situation you're in right now, but it builds a relationship for future too.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We're all going through something. Even those that are the happiest people on the planet, you've always got something going on that may be kind of lingering in the back of your mind. And just remembering that, both personal life and in leadership, I think is the key to just being better people. Mm-hmm. I think it just brings kindness, and our church has a motto of live like Jesus and share his love. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think for me, that's the perfect way to do it, is just care about everybody I talk to, even if that person is a jerk. And even if that person is having a really bad day and took it out on me, it's not my fault. Like, it's not their fault. They've got stuff going on. Let's work through it and be Jesus to them.
Beautiful. Well, Chad, I wonder if anything else is kind of rising to the surface for you in that vein. Like, how do you see, you know, leading and following kind of as skill sets, whether you're in work or in life, kind of helping you to do that, to bring more kindness into the world?
I think the biggest one for me is our lead pastor, Ryan. He kind of leads us with this idea of train yourself out of a job, because then you can step in and do something else, build that team again, train yourself out of that job. Now we've got full teams of just people doing that and of replicating themselves, bringing that to private sector and now into education has really helped us to further our skills as a team. Where prior, our specialists, which are like out in the field, help desk people fixing the stuff that's broken, they were really limited to what they could do. Bringing them in and being like, hey, help me build this policy. Help me do this budget thing. What do you think about this? You're out in the field. How do you think this would affect a classroom? Mm-hmm. Those are the things that I always joke. I'm like, well, hey, pretty soon you're going to take my job. and they, you know, they laugh and wander away. But in the end, it's like, if you ended up taking my job, sure, I would hate to lose my job, but I would be super proud that one of my team members that I helped train and help build up ended up taking a director job or took a management job or leadership job somewhere.
Yeah. It's really puts the focus on the leader follower relationship as like a developmental relationship, right?
Exactly.
So you're supporting each other in what, you know, not only the project that you're doing, right, but actually just in who you are as people and in your own careers on a more long-term basis. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Well, Chad, I have really loved hearing these stories. They're marvelous teaching stories, and I really encourage listeners to take them to heart and be inspired by them. Is there any other guidance you'd like to leave listeners with before we close?
I'm going to jump up on my pastor style soapbox for a second. I think the biggest thing for us as leaders is, especially if you are a follower of Jesus, is to, in everything you do, ask for his guidance. You know, even in the simplest things of, oh man, how would you do this reconcile of my purchase card? How would you do this spreadsheet? You know, those things, I think, are what will take a leader to the next level.
Thank you. It's a beautiful note to end on. And I just love that your final guidance for us is to ask for guidance. It's really the perfect model of a leader who follows. And I think that might just be the title of the episode. I would also add for listeners who may be from a different spiritual tradition or philosophy, that asking for guidance in a very general way is actually a great technique for putting your body and mind into the follower position, which is a position of receiving. I, for example, am often asking the trees and the nature around me for guidance, and I find this very grounding and clarifying. So please interpret this final invitation in any way that resonates for you. Chad, thank you again. Very best of luck with everything.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Sharna. It's been a lot of fun.
You have been listening to the Lead and Follow podcast. Special thanks to Glover Gill for composing our music. And thank you to all of our subscribers. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting the show with a paid subscription. And if your team or organization is interested in followership training, please reach out anytime. I'd love to help.